If you guys would, turn to 1 John chapter 3, and we're just going to be in the first three verses. We're going to take verse 1 this week, and we're going to finish it up next week. As we were getting closer to Christmas, I really felt like the Lord laid upon my heart that going through and looking at the different problems that was in the church at Corinth, such as suing your brother and your sister in Christ, I didn't think that that was going to be appropriate for us to be in at this point in time. And the thing that the Lord's just really laid upon on my heart, and I pray that it's conveyed to your heart today, is that the greatest gift we've ever received is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just listen to His Word this morning. Allow His Word to minister to you this morning. And I found that when I come to a place of wanting to receive from the Lord, man, he imparts something that is so wonderful. So wonderful. So let's see what the Lord said through the Apostle John. Behold, the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God! Exclamation point. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has yet been revealed what we shall be. But we will know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, for unto us a child is born, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over His kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment, justice, from this time forward, forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. From the Gospel of John, listen to this. John 6, 47 through 48. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. From Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. But chapter 15, verse 52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised up incorruptible and shall be changed. From 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. From Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be again entangled with a yoke of bondage. From Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame and in love. From Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not I've already obtained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold in which Christ has laid hold of me. Colossians 3, verse 1 to just verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. Now let's just do 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from your aimless conduct you receive tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without a blemish. And then finally, it's just Revelation 22, 12 through 13. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And why I just kind of just shared all those verses, I want us to understand something. And I pray that this would ignite a fire in our hearts, and it would get us geared towards why we're celebrating Christmas. Is that the Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus, we have been given this incredible gift. And the thing that the Lord's just really wanted me to just get across is for those of us who are in Christ, we've unwrapped the gift, and we are to be totally stoked at what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. But in the same sense, there's those who have left the gift unwrapped under the tree, and we are to be brokenhearted. So as we're going forward and we're celebrating Christmas this year, let's be excited what the Lord has given, but also let's be an intercession for those. That we would be salt, that we would be light. I pray this old hymn would sum up what's been conveyed through us through these brief pictures of God's Word. The hymn's, "My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." If we are in Christ, we are God's kid, as we'll see this morning. And being God's kid through Christ is the absolute greatest gift that we have ever received. Okay? So let's look at what John said. Look at verse 1. "Behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And this is where we're going to camp out this morning. This is as far as we're going to go this morning. A look at being a child of God. I would encourage everyone this week to read all of 1 John, and you'll be blessed, I'm sure. See, guys, after John shares the experience of how we can experience the light of God in chapters 1 and 2, he now changes gears and starts sharing the Father's love for his kids. The glory of God's love, verse 1a, through John, God wants us to get the big idea of God's love for us. He wants us to look intently at His love for us, to behold it. Do you want to be blessed? Please tell me that you do. Everybody wants to be blessed, I hope. You don't want to be smacked in the face, right? You would like to be blessed. Let's start here by looking at God's love through two words, behold and bestow. First, behold. It means the Lord wants us to see this love. Okay, He's not hiding this thing. He wants us to see it. Okay, He wants us to experience. I want to ask you a question, ladies. Do you not want to see the love that your husband has for you? Okay, you don't want it to be hiding that thing all up, right? You want to see it. The same thing, the Lord wants us to see His love. To behold means the Lord wants us to see it. And the Lord is not ashamed to show us this love. Think about that for a minute. Think about this just for one moment. The Creator of the universe, okay? The guy that calls the stars by name, the Lord that tilts the earth on His hand, the Lord that created me and you, He's not embarrassed to show us His love. He's not embarrassed at all. He wants us to behold it. He wants us to get an idea of this. If you've come to here today and you don't feel loved, I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you so passionately. Okay? So passionately. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "There," he says, "to the poor people that love me, the sick people that love me, you unknown, obscure people without any talent, I've published it before heaven and earth and made the angels know it, that you are my children and I am not ashamed of you. I glory in the fact that I have taken you for my sons and my daughters." The Creator of the universe, behold, I want you to get this love. 1 John 4:9 says this, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Let's just not focus on the manger this year, okay? Let's don't just focus there. Let's get focused on the cross as we're headed into a new year. I would like everybody in this room to understand, God is not bummed out with you. God's not bummed out with me. You know, my son, okay, here was my morning. I've coughed the whole time, and thank you, Stephen. I think the Lord may have answered your prayer, and if He doesn't, well, then I'm going to hold you accountable. But anyway, here's my morning. Okay, I get here at 3, and I'm getting ready for this, and then I go get my kids and my wife or whatever. I get over here, and you know, we're potty training Jonathan, right? Okay, it's a hit or miss. Sometimes he does real good, he gets distracted, sometimes he doesn't. So he was in unders today, and that's what we call them, unders, okay? And he had an accident. So there, first accident I changed, Margaret's nursing Abigail, you know, her hands are kind of full. Okay, so I change him and we have a little talk in the bathroom. Okay, you know, you got to watch these wheels because we put some pull-ups on him because, well, he's probably going to have another issue later on. I won't go into detail on that. But anyway, so sure enough, I'm getting dressed in the office about an hour later and I start to smell something that really stinks. And I have to change him again after I'm dressed. Okay, and that's not the funnest thing to do. But I'm not bummed out. I love my son. I love my son. I think, you know, sometimes that's the way we view the Lord. We think, you know what? Well, I've made this mess and it really stinks. And he's so bummed out. And that's not true. That's not true at all. Behold the manner of love that as we're going in, I mean, focus on the cross. Focus on the cross. Think about it. Bestowed. The word bestowed speaks of a couple things. First, the measure of God's love to us. It could be literally translated lavished on us. When you think of that word, what do you think of? To lavish. Okay? It's to go above and beyond. It's not just it's not this kind of love. Just to open the door every once in a while kind of love. It's to go above and beyond all the time in Christ. Secondly, it bestowed speaks the manner of God giving of His love. It has the idea of a one-sided giving instead of a return for something earned. It's one-sided deal. Okay, Romans 5:8 said, God demonstrated His own love for us, His own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, we didn't have it all together. And then we just like, okay, I just want a little bit of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And think about that, a demonstration of His love. The Creator allowed the creation to manhandle Him. Read the account in the Gospels. If you've seen the Passion of the Christ, you have a good idea of what it truly meant for Him to be crucified. Okay, He demonstrated His love for us. He made a way in a no-way situation. And I pray we would take that to heart today. That God, behold, He wants us to get a hold of this love. He wants us to see the manner of love that He has bestowed on us. He's not hiding. He's not embarrassed by it. He's not embarrassed by His kids. I think that's so important to understand. So important to understand. Now check out the last parts of verse 1a. That we should be called children of God. My translation, God has called us His kids through Christ. That's my kid. Let's put it this way, in a way that we can take home. If you had kids and you had them in sports, how often did you make the event? Every time. Now some parents are a little too... What am I looking for? Maybe a little vocal, you know? It's T-ball, chill out. All right? Yeah, it's not game 7 of the World Series. It's not the final out. You know those parents that are just overly zealous. But I would want us to get this. God is very overly zealous for His kids. He shows up. And think about it like this. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, the race of faith. And just maybe this would get a new light on this race of faith. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run the endurance of the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God's saying, that's my kid running that race. He shows up. You ever think God's looking intently at the race we're running? Think about it for a moment. We're His kid. If you're in Christ today, you're saved today, you are God's kid. And there's not anything that's going to change that. He's watching. And maybe you're in the leg of the race where you're cramping up a bit. It doesn't look like you're striding really hard. It doesn't look like you're going to finish. I want you to understand, God's cheering. He knows that, you know what, my kid's going to finish that race. My sister ran cross country in high school, and she was really good. I mean, she went to state. Her cross country team went to state several times. They were in a meet, and I guess it was in Mount Pleasant. They were in a meet. My sister also had asthma. Okay, and she was running this race, and she started having a hard time breathing. And my mother at that time, I guess, was probably my age. And I would not say she was in condition to run. I mean, cross country races, how many miles? I don't know. I don't like to run. Hell, I don't know. It's a long ways. But my mother sure has not run a mile or maybe 50 yards in a long time. And my mother ran that race with my sister the whole way. concern for a kid. Now, she was about half dead when she finished. But you get the point. Okay? God has been, He wants us to behold this love. He wants us to say, hey, look, I want you to understand I'm not hiding this love from you. I want you to get a good idea about this love. Not only that, I want you to understand that, man, I have lavished this love. I have demonstrated this love. And I want you to also understand this. I'm not ashamed to call you my kid. I'm showing up for every game. Even when you're stinking it up, I'm showing up. I'm watching. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that has ever been unwrapped. Ever been unwrapped. So I pray that you know, this would just ignite a new fire to seek the things of the Lord. One thing I do like about studying the Bible is it's not a bummer. If I spend all my time listening to this and listening to that and not firmly fasten my heart upon God's Word, I'm going to get bummed out. You know, the old song, the old hymn, we're prone to wonder. We are prone to wonder. We need to fasten ourselves down upon this great gift that we have been given through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to fasten our hearts upon the Father. And not only that, as we're going to see, we need to be sharing Him. I got to pray with two people yesterday. One was when I went to Brookshire's to get some extra meat for the men's prayer breakfast. There was this lady who was checking me out, and I noticed she was limping. She was an older lady, and I was like, I see your knees bothering you today. Yeah, I've been standing on concrete for 30 years. I was like, well, I know what you mean. I've been standing on concrete for 22 years. I'm a machinist, and you know, it wears on your knees, it wears on your ankles, it wears on your back. I totally get that. She was checking me out. I said, hey, can I pray for you? I just want to pray for your knee. She's like, oh, yeah, sure. And literally before I prayed for her, countenance was what it looks like at Christmas when people are shopping. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. And she said, you know what? You made my day. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. The Lord used me. The Lord filled me. And let's give a little glory to God that He ministered to that lady. Okay? He ministered to that lady. Then on my way home, I had to go by the dollar store to get some gloves because my wife likes to make soap. Don't ask me why, but she does. And I'm looking for these gloves in the dollar store. And I asked the lady, because I can't find them. And she says, look over here. And I was like, well, how are you doing? She said, I'm not doing too good. My kids are in Mississippi, and I'm trying to make a way home to Mississippi. And they're not going to let me off. I'm trying to get a transfer. And I was like, oh, really? So you're not going to see them for the holidays? No. I said, hey, can I pray for you? I mean, that's just being God's kid. That's it. And, you know, praise God that he worked in me. And I wasn't so focused on getting back to the house and doing this that he made me aware of that, you know what? I want to lavish some love here. I want this person to behold some love here. I want this person to understand that, hey, I understand the race you're running here. And I want you to know that I'm here. That I'm here. A few more thoughts on being called a child of God. That's who you are. Okay, if you're in Christ today, I want us to get this and hold on to it. We are God's kid. First thing to take to heart, if we're doubting we are God's kid, okay, if you're doubting that you're God's kid, we need to understand that there are three who agree we are God's kid through Christ. Number one is Jesus. Jesus says this about us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both He who sanctifies those who are being sanctified are all one, for which He's not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm not ashamed to call them my family. I mean, who wants to hear that today? I want to hear that today. Who has blown it in the past 24 hours? I hope everybody has, because I have. Okay? Jesus is like, you know what? You're my brethren. Number two, the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you're doubting you're saved, please talk to me. Because if you know you're saved, you know that you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. You just know. You may not be able to explain it. It's the Spirit within us testifying that, you know what? You are God's kid. And then finally, the Father, of course, 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. what an incredible gift that we have. God does not want us to doubt the fact that we've been adopted through Christ. He doesn't want us to doubt. He says, you know what? Jesus calls you brethren. The Holy Spirit testifies within you and says, hey, you're my kid. And not only that, I want you to understand, this is what I say. I will be a father to you. And He is not like any father, earthly father on the world, but in the planet. He is so radically different. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to blow it with Jonathan. I've already blown it with Jonathan time and time again. And I will blow it with Abigail. I'm a sinful man with a fallen nature. I'm not perfect. I just pray that my son and my daughter will see that at least I'm authentic. And I'd humble myself and I go to him, you know what? Your dad's blown it. Would you please forgive me? I pray God would work that in. But what I do want us to understand is our Heavenly Father never, ever blows it. He always answers prayer according to His heart and what's best. Sometimes when we think of salvation in Christ, we just think in terms, meaning we have a cold, metallic view of salvation. It's just a doctrinal statement. Yeah, I'm saved from sin or damnation. Instead of a warm, vibrant view of salvation, see, guys, God not only saves us, but He calls us family. Think about it. We have never read that God called Adam a child of God. Listen to what David Guzik said. Adam was never adopted as the son of God the way believers are. Here we think of redemption as merely a restoration of what was lost in Adam. We are granted more in Jesus than Adam ever had. We are children of God. Since in Christ we are His kids, should we not have a family resemblance? Okay, Jonathan looks like a little mini-me, and unfortunately sometimes he acts like it. Abigail, even the way she is right now, she looks like her mom to me. I can see no resemblance of me and that girl whatsoever. Praise God. Okay? Can you imagine? Me with long hair? You're laughing. It wasn't that funny. I didn't mean it to be, but evidently you thought it was. I did grow my hair out one time. And it didn't look as good as yours, by the way. There should be a family resemblance. And not only that, should we not show this type of love to our siblings as well? Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said this, a Christian should be a striking likeness to Jesus Christ. We should be pictures of Christ. Oh, my brethren, there is nothing that can so advantage you. Nothing can so prosper you, so assist you, so make your walk towards heaven rapidly. So keep your head upwards towards the sky and your eyes radiant with glory like the imitation of Jesus Christ. What are we seeing? What are we hearing so far as we're going and we're celebrating with God's kids? Hey, He's not bummed out. He's not bummed out. He shows up. He shows up. He says, I want you to behold. I want you to get this idea that I love you and I'm not ashamed to show it. I want you to understand that I have lavished this love. I want you to understand that you are my kid. And I've given you three witnesses to that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They all testified that you're my kid. I want you to understand that you've had it better than Adam ever had it. Okay? I'm not just restoring something. I'm adopting you into my family. And did Adam not have it pretty good? Think about that. The last thing about being God's kid, and the way John is conveying this, okay? Guys, it's very important to understand what it means to be God's kid and the way John is conveying this. Yes, God has expressed His love to the whole world in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is one of my favorite verses. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But this does not make all of humanity children of God in what John is saying here. Here what John is saying is those who have received the love of Jesus and a life of fellowship and trust with Him, meaning those who have received Him as their Savior, He gave them the right to become the children of God to those who believe in His name. Jesus, for some folks, is the greatest gift that has never been unwrapped. If you're saved today, you're God's kids today, and you've unwrapped this incredible gift. Now I want to ask you a question. What are your Christmas traditions and opening gifts or whatever? For us, one person usually gives them out and then, you know, we open them or whatever, or this or that, right? What if you're at your thing, whatever you guys do, I don't know what all you do. I mean, Tricia has 15 trees at her house. I don't know what she does. I don't know if they play, you know, hide the present. I don't know what they do there. Joan and Carl, from my house, I've seen, and the fact that my oven is not heating the way it should, due to all the lights. I don't know what traditions you guys have. Here's my point. What if you're there, you're unwrapping all these gifts, and does a parent not enjoy just watching their kids unwrap gifts and see what you got them? I mean, it doesn't get any better. I found that it does not get any better than that right there, than watching, you know, and see their prize and all this other stuff. What if one of the kids refused to unwrap the most awesome thing that you gave them? What if you're a sibling and you knew what was in the package and this kid refused to unwrap this gift and you're just like, I can't believe this. Do you not understand what you just received? See, because it's not received until you actually receive it, right? It's just kind of sitting there. What would it do to our hearts? As a parent, it would break my heart. Because you know what? Most parents are not made of money, by the way. There's a lot of sacrifice involved in Christmas a lot of times, is there not? And that kid refusing to open it. It didn't deem worthy to open it the way it was wrapped. It wasn't wrapped all pretty like all the other things. It was wrapped how I used to like to wrap my presents in tinfoil or Walmart sacks or plastic trash bags with gray tape. Cartoon page. No, that's just probably junk. But you knew that was the most precious thing that was under the tree. It did not break your heart. See, as Christians, since God since we have beheld this love, since He has bestowed this love, since He calls us His kid, and He's given us threefold witness, we've had it better than Adam ever had it. It should break our hearts when we see someone lost. They don't know the Lord. It should break our hearts. Because they're missing out on the greatest gift that was ever given. The greatest gift that was ever given. John 1 verse 6 through 13 says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And that's John the Baptist, not John the Apostle that we've just been reading. This man came for a witness to bear witness to the light, speaking of Jesus, okay, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light, that the true light, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many who has received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's what happens when we get saved. And we just think of terms of just, well, I just got saved. No, you just got adopted into this incredible family. You know what? Now you're called a child of God. The thing that amazes me about Paul, and think about it, I mean, Paul walked in a very brutal world. Okay, our world's pretty brutal. But Paul walked in a very brutal world. And you never once hear him pointing to Nero and this is what he's doing and this and that. He's always saying Christ. He's always pointing to Christ. He's always pointing people to Christ. He's about the Lord's business in spite of the world's business. He just knew he was a child of God. He knew that he was going to be here as long as the Lord would allow him. And then when he's finished what God called him to do, he was ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. I was talking to Fred before service, and I was like, I really don't want to live to be that old. I don't. I pray the Lord Jesus Christ would come back in the next 3 or 4 years. Or I just finish what God sent me here to do and I go home to be with the Lord. Because when I start thinking about eternity, when I start thinking of the fact that, you know what, I'm going to see Jesus face to face, when I start thinking of the fact that, you know what, this right here is very temporal. It's not going to last. So why am I going to fasten all my hopes and dreams here and something that's not going to last? Can you imagine how exciting it will be to have no more aches and pains? Think about that. Some of you young cats, you don't have any aches and pains, okay? You will. I was giving my mother-in-law a hard time, okay? Her and Margaret's into this essential oil thing. And I was like, oh, she's got you on that snake poison too, huh? She keeps feeding me this essential oil, trying to get this. You're not getting me rid of this cough with that stuff. Give me some NyQuil, the mean green that's going to knock me out for 5 days. I'm kidding. Actually, one time I had a horrible cough. And Carol, I don't know what concoction she gave me. I rubbed it on my chest, and it was literally gone then. I don't know what it was, but it was gone, and I didn't cough again. Hint, hint, wink, wink. I'm kidding. Jesus is the greatest gift the world has ever received. And as I said, here's the sad thing. You know what? Some leave that gift unwrapped under the tree. Therefore, their lives are slowly coming unwound, whether they realize it or not. And it should break our heart. If we are in Christ today, the Lord asks us to behold His love that He's lavished on us, to see the blessing of being called His kid. We need to share Jesus. He's the reason for the season. Okay? He's the reason for the season. So what can we take home? What can we run with this morning? Just one thing. God gave us a demonstration of His love seen in Jesus on the cross. Romans 5:8 was the very first verse I ever memorized. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Let's run with that. Let's hold on to that. I want to read one more portion from an old hymn. And the title is, From All Thy Mercies. When all thy mercies, O my God, my God, my God, rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Unnumbered comforts on my soul thy tender care bestowed, before my infant heart can see from whom those comforts flow. 10,000 precious gifts in my daily thanks employ, nor is the feast a cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy. Through all eternity to Thee a joyful song I'll raise. But O eternity too short to utter all Thy praise. We need to turn that frown, folks, upside down. Because if we're in Christ, God loves us and we're His kid. Okay? So as you're out and about, man, have that on your heart and share it. As you're reading the paper or you may be watching the news, have that on your heart. Have that on your heart. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You and we do praise You. And we thank You for Your great grace and Your mercy and Your love. And we pray as we enter this time of communion, O Lord Jesus, that, this wouldn't be something we're doing. This would be time spent with You, Lord. So we thank You and we praise You, Jesus. Amen. Guys, Carl's going to come up and he's going to pass communion around. And we have open communion here. Meaning if you're a believer, it's open to you. And if you do not know the Lord, I pray you would come and see me because you know what? I'd love to unwrap this gift with you. I'd love to share the Lord Jesus with you. Because you're missing out on the greatest thing that you could ever experience. I joked the other day. I said the greatest decision I ever made was to drink coffee. And then I had to recant. And I said, no, the greatest decision ever that I ever made was accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And then marrying my precious wife and then having kids. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever.